What about not radiating DCIS?
I certainly fall somewhere between the Mel Silverstein approach of minimally radiating people and the Bernie Fisher approach of radiating everyone with DCIS. And I like the fact that there's still a room for judgment. So in our practice, older patients with small areas of DCIS with wide margins might consider not radiating. Younger patients with incidentally discovered DCIS, you take out a fibroadenoma and there's 2 millimeters of DCIS, not in a big field of atypical hyperplasia, I might consider not radiating that patient. A patient with comorbidities where there is a reason to be concerned about pulmonary or cardiac dosing of radiation. So I think our default is to radiate DCIS, and certainly the majority of our patients overwhelmingly get radiated. But there's clearly room for judgment here.
Continuing the theme of DCIS, how are you approaching patients in terms of tamoxifen and endocrine therapy for DCIS?
We have viewed tamoxifen as a highly appropriate option for patients with DCIS since the NSABP B24 trial. It has not been accepted by our New York patients. When we sit down and do the math with them and look at risks and benefits and look at quality of life issues, it has been very common for them to demur from the tamoxifen. And so we probably have one of the lowest rates in the country of DCIS patients on tamoxifen. And whether there's some physician bias in that or not, or whether this is just a proactive patient population. The same can be said, by the way, in our prophylactic setting, where we've just not been successful in getting patients onto tamoxifen.
What are the biggest concerns about tamoxifen in the patient and maybe the physician?
I think that the two obvious ones are the fear of endometrial cancer and the fear of thromboembolic events. And even when we provide the raw numbers on how infrequent those events are, I think that since we are talking about minimal, if any, impact on long-term survivorship and moderate impact on local control issues, it simply is not an attractive option.
In a patient who is interested in taking tamoxifen, a postmenopausal patient who finds it intolerable because of side effects, will you offer an aromatase inhibitor?
Well, we'd like more information about DCIS and AIs, but I have to tell you that since ATAC's initial publication, aromatase inhibitors have certainly become our endocrine therapy of choice in postmenopausal ER-positive invasive cancers. And that literally happened overnight, and it happened like gangbusters. And so I think it is completely natural that there would be bleed over into the person who comes in who's postmenopausal with DCIS. And so I'm sure we've given AIs to some patients with DCIS.
You talked before about the fact that the patients and maybe the physicians are sort of not too excited about giving tamoxifen or DCIS. What about an AI?
In the setting of DCIS?
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely a conversation that we are having more frequently now, particularly if the principal concern is endometrial cancer, cataract formation, the other quality of life things that have been associated with tamoxifen. We're anxiously awaiting some trial data with DCIS and with prevention with the AIs, but they have so overwhelmingly transformed in our practice that I know there's bleed over into the DCIS patients.